Today on The Journey.
Today's message is for anyone who has ever known doubt, discouragement, or fear. Because God does not want us to live there. And we don't have to live there.
It's curious, isn't it? How a few choice words can sap our physical, emotional, and spiritual strength. How even heroes of the faith can be tempted to abandon God's work by well-timed taunts and mockery. Well, today, Ron Moore begins a three-part series designed to identify and defeat the subtle and overt scorn that threatens God's work in your life. Just before that, I want you to know about our special offer during this series. Sinister voices, external and internal, positive and negative, can halt your growth in Christ. But Ron will teach you how to defeat them in his powerful publication, Voices of Opposition. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with part one of the series, Voices of Opposition, on The Journey.
Each one of us hears voices, don't we? Voices trapped in our minds that spring into memory at the most inopportune times. Sometimes these voices are from the past, from a parent or spouse, child, a friend, someone you've worked with or worked for. Just when you're ready to do something great for God, there they come. Those voices of criticism and ridicule and doubt, discouragement. Sometimes the voices are not in our mind at all. They come from a person who stands right in front of us, or sometimes right behind our back. Words that are sharp, words that are biting, as the Proverbs say, reckless words that pierce like a sword. And after the attack, you are left emotionally bleeding and wounded. Sometimes I am convinced the voices come from Satan himself, reminding us of our past sin, saying, how in the world do you think, with everything you've done, you could ever be worthy of God? Reminding us of our past failure, saying, see how God let you down? He's going to let you down again. Reminding us of our weaknesses, saying, how could God ever use you? And does Satan have a heyday when painful words come from other Christians? He says, that's what the community of believers is supposed to be about? With friends like that, who would ever need any enemies? Today's message is for anyone who has ever known doubt, discouragement, or fear. Because God does not want us to live there. And we don't have to live there. God knows that those who live in doubt and fear and discouragement are paralyzed spiritually and cannot develop the way He wants us to grow. Today we're going to look at a people who had those things come up on them, and we're going to learn how they took biblical steps to deal with doubt and fear and discouragement. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 4. We're considering the story of a man who lived 2,400 years ago and yet speaks to us so powerfully today. A man who was in a privileged position in the Persian Empire. In chapter 1, we learn this man found that the city of Jerusalem was in ruins. His people lived in disgrace and God was being mocked, and so he wanted to do something about it. And he set off to do a great endeavor for God. Chapter 2, we see him getting the permission from King Artaxerxes to return and rebuild the walls. In chapter 2 and 3, we see Nehemiah leading people back to rebuild the walls, this great endeavor for God. But no sooner had he started, in chapter 4, we find efforts to stop the great endeavor. Voices of doubt, fear, and discouragement. Today what I want to do is we go through this chapter. Let's just go through and look at these issues that are being presented. And then we'll go back and deal with how we can address those issues in our life. Here's the first one. Nehemiah and those with him ran up against voices of doubt. Look at verses 1 through 3. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring these stones back to life from those heaps of rubble burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What they're building? Well, even if a fox climbed upon it, he would break down their walls of stone." You can just imagine, can't you? After each question is asked, there are howls of laughter from those who mock in agreement. Let's look at the questions that are asked by these two enemies of Nehemiah. The first question he asks Sanballat is, "What are those feeble Jews doing?" He questions their strength. They're not capable of doing such work. They're not strong enough to do it. They're too feeble. Will they restore their wall? Question of their ability. Will they offer sacrifices? I take this as a question of their spiritual preparation. Are they ready to really do this? Are they really prepared? Have they prayed enough? Have they fasted enough? Have they sought the counsel they needed? Are they really spiritually prepared? Have they offered enough sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? A question of their wisdom to take on such a project in the first place. They don't even know what they're doing. Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble burned as they are? Question of their resources. They don't have enough stuff. They don't have enough money. They don't have enough people. They don't have enough building material. They can't get it done. And then Tobiah the Ammonite, a telling phrase here, who was at his side. Critics always run together, don't they? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "Well, what they're building, even if a fox would climb up on it, it would break down their walls of stone." Question their product. If they finish it, which they won't, but even if they finish it, it won't be worth anything. It won't last. Someone will just come and knock it over again. In the Christian life, there are these seeds of doubt that are sown, sometimes by past voices, sometimes by present voices, sometimes by Satan himself, that looks at us and says, "You can't do it, can you?" Never think just because you say, "I really want to do something great for God," you won't face doubt. You won't be questioned. Now, sometimes we need to be questioned. In fact, any great endeavor we take on, we need to answer some serious questions. Should you be doing this? Is this really what God wants you to do? But there's a great difference between questions that encourage and help you confirm what God wants you to do and questions just aimed at ridicule. "You can't handle this. You never could handle this. Why would you ever want to do anything great for God?" Secondly, the builders hear voices that bring fear. Look at verse 7 and 8. "But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, and the Ammonites The men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to the Jerusalem walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed. They were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. Look at verse 11. Also, our enemy said, before they know it or see it, we will be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to their work. You won't even see us coming. And we're going to put a stop to it. Look at verse 12. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they're going to get you. When you least expect it, they're going to be there and they're going to kill you. And so they live with fear. The terrorist alert was sounded, was elevated. And when you least expect it, we're going to blow up a building. When you least expect it, we're going to blow up a train. When you least expect it, we're there. And the people lived in fear. Fear is fed by what if questions. Those building the wall, thirdly, heard voices aimed at sowing discouragement. Not only doubt, not only fear, but discouragement. Look at verse 10. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out. There is so much rubble, we cannot rebuild the wall. I see through here three parts of discouragement. The first is loss of strength. The people of Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out. And when you're going through discouragement, there's a loss of physical strength. You're just tired. There's a loss of emotional strength. The will begins to give out. I can't keep doing this. And there's a loss of spiritual strength. You begin to feel separated from God. Discouragement is that land without God, without His hand of protection upon you. Loss of strength. Then there's a loss of vision, a loss of what God really has for us. Look back at verse 6. Nehemiah says, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. For the people worked with all their heart. They were working hard. They were giving it everything they had. And the wall was half its height. They were halfway there. But then the people of Judah come. Classic example of seeing a glass half empty. The wall is halfway there, but you know what? Look at all the rubble around us, man. I know it's halfway there, but look what we have left. Look at all this stuff around us. It's a mess. Discouragement happens when you lose your vision. Remember, God hasn't left you. God is right there with you. God will never forsake you. He'll never leave you. And finally, for some of you, discouragement comes as a result of spiritual compromise. Turn over to chapter 6 and look at verse 17. Now remember who was bringing on the discouragement? The people of Judah. Over in chapter 6 we learn, also in those days the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah were coming to them, for many in Judah were under oath to him, since he was a son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, the son of Johananiah, and he married the son of Meshuzalem, the son of Berechiah. Moreover, they kept reporting to me that his good deeds, and then telling him what I said, and Tobiah sent letters to me. Judah was involved in compromise. They had some mixed marriages. We're going to learn in chapter 13 that they had married these foreigners and brought them in completely against God's command. They're living in compromise. So sometimes discouragement just comes on by lack of strength and lack of vision and illness and whatever. But sometimes it's a spiritual issue that you have to deal with. So don't pass over that. When you're in discouragement, look to your heart and say, man, am I compromising in any way? Because if I'm going to get through this, it's only going to be with God. And if I'm not walking with Him, this thing's not going to work. How do you deal with this stuff? How do you deal with fear and doubt and discouragement? Number one, you understand your position in Christ. If you're not a Christian, you're going to live with fear. And you should, because you live with the final fear of eternal separation from God. So I encourage you today to trust in Christ. But if you are a Christian, you are a treasured child of the living God. He has a plan for you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Never forget who you are. Nehemiah could carry on with the vision because he knew God had put his hand on his heart. God was the one who moved his heart to say, I want to rebuild the walls. And he knew if God started that, God would finish it, because God doesn't take us halfway and not finish his work. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says this, for by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one should boast. For we are God's workmanship, verse 10 says, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God preordained for us to do. God has things for us to do. You're his treasured child. Doubt will come in all of our lives, but by God's grace, it won't turn us into a doubter. Things will come into our lives to cause fear, but by God's grace, we will not be paralyzed, nor will we panic. Things will come into our life to bring discouragement, but by God's grace, we will not lose our eternal perspective, nor our vision for the thing God wants us to do. Number two, if you're going to handle doubt and despair and discouragement, fear, you have to understand the power of prayer. Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You will see throughout the book of Nehemiah that when he hits a tough time, he is on his knees. He is praying. He prays hard and long, and sometimes we see his prayers as very quick missiles to God, as we see in verses 4 and 5. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. And then he says in verse 9, in response to the fear, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. We not only prayed, but we did something about it. If you're feeling doubt or discouragement or fear, don't forget to pray. Don't panic, pray. Don't go into despair, pray. Don't become a doubter. Ask God for strength and help. Number three, learn to trust God. Back in chapter 2 of Nehemiah, we already see the opposition that has been coming. Look at verse 19 in chapter 2. Just turn back a couple chapters. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you are doing, they asked. Are you rebelling against the king? And I answered them, saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim to its historical right. We trust in God. The God of heaven will give us success. The psalmist says, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Isaiah says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Philippians chapter 4. I know what it is, Paul says, to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret. Through the experience, I have learned the secret of being content, of trusting in any situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Learn to trust God. And finally, be prepared. The first thing they did is they acknowledged the threat. They acknowledged that there was an issue there. There's always an issue behind doubt. There's always an issue behind fear. There's always an issue behind discouragement. And so they acknowledged it. People are coming after us. We want to acknowledge it. And so Nehemiah, if you look at verse 12, of chapter 14. He stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places where they were most vulnerable. He stationed people there. They got prepared for the battle coming. Satan's going to hit us. Are we prepared for that? It's going to come. Are we prepared? Secondly, they stood guard. They not only prayed, but they stood guard. And you will find that these people worked. If they were building the wall, they had a sword in their side. If they were carrying materials, they were carrying materials with one hand with their weapon in the other. They never took off their clothes. They stood guard day and night for 52 days as they built the wall. And it says, even when they went for water, even when we were taking a little break, we didn't let down our guard because we knew that they could come and get us. Scripture says Satan is like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. Every one of us as believers, resist him standing firm in the faith. Never let down your guard. Number three, they stood together. They knew they couldn't do this thing on their own. Look at verse 13. Then I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families. Nehemiah put their families together because he knew this. When you're fighting for your sons and your daughters and your wife and your mom and your dad, when you're fighting together, you're going to fight harder. You're going to stand with each other. When you stand together, you're strong. That's why you never go through something on your own. That's why you can never go through fear and discouragement and doubt on your own. Look at the people around you. There are people who love you, who want to stand with you. They might not be blood relatives, but they're your brothers and sisters in Christ who would love to be with you, who would love to help you. Fear is paralyzing, isn't it? Makes us forget who we are. But when we're together, we can get to the end strong. One more thing. They had their weapons ready. Look at verse 23. Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the full armor of God. And as Paul goes through the full armor, there is one thing there that is an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is our only offensive weapon. If you're in the Word, you have your sword with you. If you're not in the Word, then you're standing very, very vulnerable to doubt, to fear, to discouragement. Some of you are going through challenging times. And I want you to know that God is not wasting any of your time. If you're a believer, He is using everything you're going through. Times of doubt, times of fear, times of discouragement. Sometimes He delivers us from that. Sometimes He just grows us through that. Sometimes He calms the storm. Other times He calms His child.
And please stay with us. Ron returns with a special announcement just ahead. Do voices of discouragement, doubt, and ridicule from past and present hound your days and gnaw at your sleep? You know, those persistent taunts that question your abilities, wisdom, and resources can keep you from reaching your full potential in Christ. So in his booklet, Voices of Opposition, Ron Moore helps you isolate the causes of such doubt and fear and defeat them in God's strength. There, you'll discover an exciting new vision for the work Christ has prepared for you to do. Voices of Opposition is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to tell us about an event that will strengthen your faith.
If you live in the Pittsburgh area, I want to invite you to join us for our Relevant Faith Apologetic Series at one of our campuses in Robinson, Ross Traver, South Hills, Washington, or at our Wilkinsburg campus. If you live outside the Pittsburgh area, you can join our online campus on Sundays via our website, our app, or our Facebook page. This series runs through the weekend of September 14th and 15th, and it tackles some of the most important questions facing our culture today. Questions like, is there absolute truth? Is the Bible reliable? the person of Jesus Christ and the significance of the church. So visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. That's BibleChapel.org. You can get more information there about this series and about our church. We'll see you at one of our campuses.
Again, that web address is BibleChapel.org. And don't forget our offer of Ron Moore's booklet, Voices of Opposition. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018, 724-731-2018. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on The Journey.